for a brief period of time this morning, maybe 2 hours. Proverbs chapter 19, please. We've talked about various kinds of love, how love works in the last few weeks. We've talked about where fellowship comes from the last week, on Wednesday. This morning, another class on ecclesiology, the study of the church. So the theme has been the body and the growth of the body and the unity of the body and dealing with division and so forth. And I would like to deal with conflict in the church this morning just for some brief thoughts. Some of these you may have already heard, but it is great to be refreshed in them. So Proverbs 19, verse 11 says, "The discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook a transgression." Let's read that again. Ready? "The discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook a transgression." That's my view, that the majority of conflicts between believers involves issues that can be overlooked. Hello? So, Father, we thank you for this morning today. It's true. You know, you don't have to say much. Just read the verse. It's glorious to overlook a transgression. It's an individual's glory to overlook it's power. It's strength. It's self-control to overlook a transgression. You look at Matthew chapter 7. And you read the old Speck in the Eye verse. That's a German verse. Speck in the Eye. Sorry. Matthew 7, verse 3. "Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but don't consider the plank in your own eye?" By the way, how many of you have a plank in your eye? Every hand in here should go up. Edie, you have a plank in your eye. Put your hand up. I've seen it when I was taking the speck out of mine. No. But I was thinking about this, my eye, today because I was going to preach on this verse, and I just thought I'd have you pray for me. But it doesn't feel like there's a plank in there. It feels more like a little speck. But anyway, you have a speck in your eye. But you also have a plank in your eye. Probably the speck came off the plank that's in your eye. But we all have planks in our eyes. We all have things that we're missing that we don't want to deal with that are, frankly, awful. Hello? It's true. Yes, even B. I know it's hard to believe, but even B has a plank in her eyes. She beats Harry with it when she glares at him. That's what the wife look is. A wife. How many of you know what the wife look is? You know what a wife look is? They give you that kind of stare down, glare thing. You know. Anne Marie perfected it even before she was married. That poor Gary. Pray for him. Yeah, she was trained well by her mentor, I guess. So and then it says, "How can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck in your eye, and look, you have a plank in your own eye?" Verse 5, hypocrite. So, you know, I think it would be really good to avoid being a hypocrite. Right? That should be like a life goal of everyone. Let's not be hypocrites. That's why it's a glory to overlook a matter. But see, you could also get on the far extreme of this, and you're not dealing with any issues at all. And a lot of people are not. How many have ever met someone who what you would call non-confrontational? How many of you would consider yourself a non-confrontational person? I know I am. Shut up. many of you are feel like you're non-confrontational? Raise your hand. I agree with those. Really? You think you're non-confrontational? We should. I don't even want to talk now. I'm afraid to say anything. First, remove the plank from your own eye, and then you'll clearly see the speck in your brother's. So this verse doesn't forbid loving correction. It forbids premature and improper correction. That's what the verse is dealing with. It doesn't say, you know, never talk to anyone about something they're doing wrong. It says, consider yourself first. So people get in these conflicts and they don't ask the question, what did I do to contribute to this mess? Instead, we want to go up to each other and say, you hurt my feelings. Or, you know, say, you did this, that, and the other thing. And when we were arguing, you said this. Well, first of all, really, well, how did you contribute? The first question you ought to ask yourself is, what am I contributing to this conflict? Some of us are very generous with those kind of contributions, right? We like to make our points and say our piece, and sometimes we're adding to the problem and exacerbating and making things worse. So the two questions you ask when you're in a conflict with somebody is this. Number one, do I have an oversensitive attitude and I'm being easily offended here? Yes. Paul says, yes. That's the first question. Am I being oversensitive here, really? And if you're not sure, ask somebody else you trust. You don't want to tell them the whole problem you're having with this other person, because then you're going to get into a slander situation. But you ask somebody, am I oversensitive sometimes? Your friend will say, yeah. As they wave the plank in their own eye, you know? They say, yeah, you tend to be a little oversensitive. I think we all tend to get a little oversensitive. Sometimes we're oversensitive in areas where we have unresolved issues. But that's for another message. Number two, did I contribute to this conflict with my own sinful behavior? That's a very specific question, Mike, isn't it? Did I contribute to this with my sinful behavior? And if the answer to that question is yes, then what is my primary responsibility with the other person now? To do what? Apologize, a little stronger than apologize. Reconcile, which means repent, and ask forgiveness. So you have a blowout with somebody, and they cut you up one side and down the other, and they are wicked. But you were oversensitive, and your sinful behavior contributed, and you know it. Then the first move needs to be made by you, not the person who did the worst thing. And sometimes that means you go to your spouse or your kids and you say, please forgive me. None of these, well, if I did anything to offend you. I hate that. Tell me what you did. Well, what I did was wrong. Really, what was that? What exactly did you do that was wrong? Lay it out there. I lost my cool. I said unkind things. I was judgmental. And because of my own selfishness and wanting attention, I pushed this issue and said horrible things to you. Please forgive me. Be precise when you apologize. And ask forgiveness, because now you're going to let that other person have a little control, which we don't like to do. What if they don't forgive me? Then you then technically you didn't reconcile, but you that's not your problem anymore, is it? If you went with the right attitude. See, there are a couple different kinds of conflicts that come from two types of issues. Number one, a material issue, and then a personal issue. These are the things we fight over. We fight over material issues, and then we fight over personal issues. All right? Material issues, for example, where to spend vacation. Should we build a new church building? That's a material issue. You know, like how much does Vinny really owe Carmine? That's a material issue. You know, was it right for Louise to fire Thelma? Debbie. Those are material issues, right? Now here's a personal issue. These are expressed in comments usually, like, I'm upset that you lied to me. That's personal. You did something to embarrass me in front of other people. Personal. Your motives are self-serving, and you're acting sinful as a result. See, those are the personal issues. The material issues are a little bit different. Material issues can usually be resolved by negotiating, by patient negotiating and talking it out, right? Well, how much does Vinny really owe Carmine? Put the guns down. We're going to have a conversation. Where are we going to spend vacation? Let's talk about it with everybody. Let's figure it out. Like sometimes when we plan a vacation, which we haven't had in a while, we plan a vacation. I know this one doesn't like beaches. This one won't go to museums. This one doesn't want to do this. This one doesn't want to go to concerts. This person would rather drive go-karts. This one would rather go to a baseball game. You got to negotiate through all that. But you don't have we could sit at the table and argue about it, which we do. Or you can patiently negotiate and say, okay, we're going to go here and we're going to do this. Does that make you happy? No, nothing makes you happy. So you can stay home. You're going to go here. So you gotta. Those are material things we negotiate in the conflicts of a family, right? And in the congregation, it's the same thing. Where are we going to build a church? Now, we had some very interesting discussions over the years about various things we were going to do here, but I can tell you, I don't think it ever turned into a conflict. But I know churches that they have major conflicts, some of them about the color of a wall. Major conflict. You heard the story. Our dear friend decided he was largely in charge of facilities. And there was one area in the church he wanted to make a wall, painted a wall orange. And rather than people say to him, it really doesn't fit the decor, maybe we could change it or leave it there for a while, it's no big deal, it's a glory to overlook matter, there was like this major blowout over this. Right? Wasn't it a horrible blowout that happened over a color of a wall in that church?
That's the elder.
We are here now, he said. Well, that wasn't the only cause of you getting thrown out. Which is why in my office, now I have an orange wall. Feel free to come and see it. There's a big story to that, and it's important. However, that was a material issue that could have been negotiated. Personal issues are different. Personal issues require overlooking, confession, and loving correction to be resolved. So material issues can be negotiated. Personal issues require either overlooking or loving correction and reconciliation. How many understand that? If the offended party is unforgiving, even if the offender repents, the issue shouldn't be considered resolved, but now that unforgiving person must learn to forgive. Because that's their responsibility. Luke 12. Luke 12, verse 12, this guy comes to Jesus from the crowd. Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Apparently they were fighting over inheritances. This is awful. When a family member dies, how people get like they go nuts. You ever notice that? They lose their minds. Luke chapter 12, verse 12. Luke, let me say it again. Luke chapter 12, verse 13. And people lose their ever-loving minds. They haven't talked to each other for years. Now they're going to start fighting over a few thousand dollars. They're going to go crazy. It's just awful. This guy brings it to Jesus. Jesus says, who made me a judge or an arbiter over you? And he said, take heed and beware of covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses. That verse is in the context of a conflict. Right? What Jesus is saying to that person is, your issue of conflict is the result of a personal lust. That's consistent with what James says when he says, where do wars and conflicts come among you? Come from among you. Do you not lust in your heart and desire to have and not have? Remember 1 James chapter 1? So Jesus is saying this, and James repeats it. Your conflict is because of your lust. That's why you have to deal with the plank in your own eye before you deal with the speck in someone else's. A lot of conflicts can be a mix of both kinds of issues, both material and personal. It may start out as a material issue and wind up being a personal issue, especially if someone mishandles the material conflict and they're negotiating in bad faith or with a horrible attitude. Now it becomes a personal matter. So things get more complicated if they're not dealt with biblically. If I don't think of myself first when going into a conflict, I can take a material issue and turn it into a personal one. And that's where we get into trouble, friends. Most of the time, your conflicts start with something very simple, with something very negotiable, with something very easy to deal with, and could be handled instantaneously with a very loving word or two. But we don't. We like them to snowball somehow. They snowball because now it's personal. Now this silly little thing is snowballed into this major issue, and I've seen it happen where it can divide a church. Sometimes the two issues aggravate each other. This is why it says in Ephesians 4:26, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. You know, don't let an infection fester in the relationship. That means that I want to deal with my own heart quickly. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Not the other person's wrath. They were angry. I'm going to deal with it. No, don't let the sun go down on your own wrath. And wrath means a lot of different things. It means, for the human being, it's uncontrolled anger, which is really a control issue. So it's important to try to keep issues sorted out. Here's some tips to do this. Number one, overlook minor offenses. If people would do that, there'd be a ton less conflict to deal with. The church would be a much happier place. But overlooking doesn't mean I overlook it and I hold it against them and talk about them. Right? Hello? Yeah. Proverbs 12, verse 16 says, a fool's wrath is known at once, but a prudent man covers shame. 15, verse 18, Proverbs, a wrathful man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger allays contention. So you're slow to anger, you don't stir up the problem with your hot temper. You overlook minor offenses. Chapter 20, verse 3, Proverbs. It's honorable for man to stop striving, since any fool can start a fight. Hello? Any fool. Any fool can start a fight. It's easy. But an honorable man stops striving. So overlook minor offenses. Number two, stop the matter from escalating. 17:14. The beginning of strife is like releasing water. Therefore, stop contention before a quarrel starts. The beginning of strife is like releasing water. Now, you know, the story of the little Dutch boy with his finger in the dike there, you know, that kind of thing. Or when you open up a door that's got water behind it. It's just kind of dripping under the door. You open up that door and you have like you have a problem. Proverbs 26, verse 17. He who passes by and meddles in a quarrel not his own is like one who takes a dog by the ears. Don't let the matter escalate. And by the way, stay out of your own quarrels unless you're invited to help negotiate them. Number three, let love be your motivation. Think about why you should love the person that you have the quarrel with. First Peter 4:8. Above all things, have fervent love for one another. Love covers a multitude of sins. Love can handle a multitude of offenses. And then you kind of cross-reference that one with Proverbs 10, verse 12. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. Love covers sins. It honors privacy because repeating a matter can ruin friendships. And then be patient with one another. Ephesians 4, 2. Be patient. So, what we really want to get to the point is where we can forgive a grievance as soon as it happens. You just mentally forgive it as soon as it happens. You understand. Put yourself in the other person's place. Understand. Think of your own plank. Understand. Be patient. Be forgiving. Just like that scapegoat where you send that sin away as quickly as you can. Just put it on. Listen, this was on Christ. Away it goes. I really I don't have to address this. The only time you really have to address something is when it's hurting the person, seriously hurting that person, causing self-harm to the person, or harming someone else, or disrupting the unity of the and peace of the congregation. Then you may have to deal with something. But most minor offenses can be overlooked. I don't have to deal with every little minor offense. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes I don't have to overlook more, I don't have to deal with more serious ones because I have a God who's going to deal with that person. So, you know, you can just take your hands off and let God deal with that person. Unless they're hurting themselves or someone else, I can choose to overlook the matter and commit it to Christ in prayer. Amen? This coming Wednesday, we're gonna talk about how we help others resolve conflicts and how we resolve conflicts a little bit more. But I want to just leave you with that. If I understand how forgiven I am, I can really be good at restoring other people that fail. And I really need to think about the fact of how much God has forgiven me. You know, when you're a dad or a mom and your kids do stuff, do you remember your childhood at all? Do you remember your youthful stupidity? For some, it's all too clear, you know. When I was young, stayed out late. That song Bruce Hornsby sang, when I was young, I stayed out late, raising heck across the state. You know, it wasn't limited to one little area. It had a vast effect. You remember that when you deal with young people. You know? And with one another, we remember how much we've been loved and forgiven by God. And then you just learn, listen, I can overlook that. I don't have to deal with that. Father, we want to ask you to help us to be forgiving like you. And it's really strange because sometimes, you know, we ask you for patience and we expect you to just make us patient. But what you do is you give us opportunities to exercise patience. We pray, make us strong. And you don't just instantly give us strength. You give us something hard to deal with that makes us stronger. And when we pray, Lord, that we want to get to know your forgiveness, well, guess who you're going to send to us? Conflict. You're going to send us people that need forgiveness. And that's just the way it is. So we pray, Lord, that we would recognize that when it happens, that it's a gift, that it's growing. And we pray that you would help us to learn to grow and to change and to become forgiving reconcilers. In Jesus Christ's name we ask this. Amen.